Our first scripture reading this morning is from Psalm chapter 104, verses 1 through 15. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, wrapped in light as with a garment. You stretch out the heavens like a tent. You set the beams of your chambers on the waters. You make the clouds your chariot. You ride on the wings of the wind. You make the winds your messengers, fire and flame your ministers. You set the earth on its foundations so that it shall never be shaken. You cover it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke, they flee. At the sound of your thunder, they take flight. They rose up to the mountains, ran down to the valleys, to the place that you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they may not again cover the earth. You make springs gush from the forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills, giving drink to every wild animal. The wild burrows quench their thirst. By the streams, the birds of the air have their habitation. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. You cause the grass to grow for the cattle and plants for people to cultivate to bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the human heart, oil to make the face shine and bread to strengthen the human heart. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading, one as we continue our way through the Lord's Prayer, but also from John 6, these words. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. That's about 6 months' wages. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "Well, there is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to all who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, and they filled 12 baskets. When people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." And then a little later, when Jesus realized they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. And our verse today from the Lord's Prayer, "Give us today our daily bread." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, one time, quite a while ago, there was a study done at a prestigious university using two young boys as a subject for a psychological study. And the two boys were very different. The first boy was put into a room with lots of toys, very expensive, alluring, and although he was left in the room for an hour, he never really played with them. And the psychologist came out afterwards to interview him, and he said, why didn't you play with the toys? And he said, well, I know I can't take them home with me, so what's the point in playing with them for just a little while? I'll just be sad later. Well, this boy was truly a pessimist. The second boy was brought into a room filled with the contents of an old stable. And after a few minutes, he started throwing around the moldy hay. He even took a pitchfork and started, you know, shoveling the manure over in the corner. And when his hour was up, he wasn't ready to come out yet. But they asked him, they said, well, how could you stand to be in there with all that stinky stuff and have so much fun? And, well, the boy replied, well, with all that hay and manure in there, there has to be a pony in there somewhere. Now, that boy was truly an optimist. In our passage from John 6, Philip is the pessimist and Andrew is more of an optimist. Jesus is facing what seems like an impossible situation. The crowds are following him around and are getting really huge. And it's not like in our day where there's a McDonald's or a 7-Eleven all over the place. There's nothing to eat. There's no food outlet nearby. And no money, even if they could buy something. And Jesus does a characteristic thing here. He does not come to the rescue right away. He lets his disciples try to figure it out. And often you will find that God will do the same thing with you and me. In this case, Philip asks, how are we going to feed all these people? Philip realizes that it would take about 6 months' wages to feed these people with just something very simple. And on top of that, there's nowhere in all this wilderness to find any food anyhow. So Philip feels that the situation is hopeless. Andrew is a bit more optimistic. He looks around and sees a young boy who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And Andrew brings the boy forward and presents the lad with his lunch to Jesus. But even Andrew says, but what is so little among so many? However, as we know with hindsight, those loaves and fishes were the raw material of one of the greatest earthly miracles that Jesus ever performed. It is one of the few things recorded in all 4 Gospels. When you have something in all 4 Gospels who were written by different people at different times for different audiences, you know it's something important. So Jesus looked at the crowd, took the boy's lunch, blessed it, and ordered it distributed to all. And there were 12 baskets of leftovers after all 5,000 people were fed. That would be 5,000 men. They didn't count women and children. So that was a lot. But little becomes a lot when placed in the master's hands. If there were political polls back then, Jesus would be at the top of his popularity. The people were ready to crown him king and make him their military leader and political ruler. But realizing this, Jesus withdrew from them and went to a private, quiet place to pray. He really disappointed them. However, they would not give up, and they followed him across the Sea of Galilee. And the Bible tells us that they were not only following Jesus to hear what he said, they wanted another free meal. In other words, many were there for the instant bread. Israel was a poor country, as many countries were, and many in the country lived in grinding poverty, as was the case for ordinary people most places. A free meal was something to be grateful for and to be sought after. However, Jesus knew that people were fickle. He knew that for most of them, the day he stopped giving them free bread would be the day they would find somebody else to follow. He had fed 5,000 plus people as a sign, but the people only saw him as a bread giver. What many did not understand is that Jesus was not the bread giver, he was the bread, the source of abundant life that God wants to give us. being Israelites. They all knew the story of Moses and the Hebrew people in the wilderness. They knew that God had fed them on manna, some flaky substance like bread, every day. And every day God sent the manna, just enough for them to eat for the day, and there was none left over. And the next day God provided for them again, their daily bread. Just as the Israelites in the wilderness started to treat God as a bread giver, a wish granter, a need fulfiller, so the people following Jesus wanted to treat him the same way. But Jesus knew better. He knew that people needed more than just a quick fix of a free meal. They needed more than just physical bread. They needed spiritual food, which is why Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and those who believe in me will never thirst." You know, our world is still hungry and thirsty for God. And when we pray, "Give us today our daily bread," we are remembering who we are and who God is. We are the hungry ones, and God is the sustenance. And we are asking God to come into hungry hearts today and fill them. By virtue of being a minister, a daughter, a granddaughter, sister-in-law, I have been involved in a lot of end-of-life situations. I walk around in houses bereft of mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers, grandparents, and it is a somber and solemn time. Years ago, when my mother-in-law was dying, my little family went up from Florida to see her in Pittsburgh. And we stayed in her house, and it was amazing how such a familiar place could suddenly seem so alien. You see, my mother-in-law was not there. And she had not been there for quite a while. She was in a hospice unit. And consequently, there was nothing to eat in the house. No food giver, no food. And until we could get to a grocery store, we had to survive on fast food. And as tempting and well-promoted and packaged as it is, the world gives us fast food. Power, popularity, money, drugs, caffeine, nicotine, whatever. It's fast food. And like fast food, you can live on it for a while, but a steady diet of it will make you sick. What the world gives and what we try to carve out for ourselves doesn't last. It meets our needs just for a short time. The reason for the existence of this church on the corner of Mount Oak and Mitchellville Road is to help feed people who are spiritually hungry and thirsty for God. We are, in essence, a feeding ministry. How well do you think we're doing? Are you feeling well-fed, spiritually powerful, ready to follow Jesus wherever? How about the people living around us in these houses? How are we doing in our mission to feed them with God's peace and joy, love and justice? How might we do better at taking the time to sit at Jesus' feet and invite others to do so in a hectic and complex world? Maybe we need to find new ways to connect or reconnect with God. Or maybe we need to start again and train ourselves anew to look for those who might need the bread of life or the cup of forgiveness. That's our job. How is it working out for you right now? You know, a life without God as the guiding force will never satisfy the hunger within, nor comfort you amidst tragedy, nor forgive you and restore you, nor give you strength to cope with whatever comes your way, nor give you life here or hereafter. People need the sustenance that only God can give. When we visited my mother-in-law in her hospice unit, our relationship changed, and we got a glimpse of her life as she saw it. Her life beyond mother and grandmother, the mighty meal giver and need fulfiller. And she had 5 children and gazillion grandchildren, so when she made a meal, it was something. She talked about what it was like to give birth in an army hospital in the 40s, so basic, they didn't even know she was having twins. She talked about meeting her husband and some of the friends they had had and what they did. She remembered so many happy times with all the family together, and we were just happy to be in the presence of a gentle spirit who had been on a long spiritual journey and who had prayed many times for daily bread, the Jesus kind. When Jesus taught us to pray, "Give us today our daily bread," he is asking, "Do you trust me enough just to be in my presence one day at a time? And let me help you take care of things." And not just for what we can get from him, but just to be in his presence in a loving, trusting relationship. You know, there was a lobbyist in D.C. who was asked what he learned living there and working there for 5 years, what he had learned during all those power lunches, smoozing and meetings, and his reply became sort of a motif. He said he could boil it all down into one concept. There is no free lunch. But tell that to the 5,000 people who were fed by Jesus, or to the Israelites who were fed manna in the wilderness. They got a free lunch. They got unmerited grace. Our scripture texts for today are about Jesus, and they are also about us. We are hungry for God, and God offers us a free spiritual food. Now, if we understand the gift, we just might want to share it around. And I believe in our church's ability to help feed spiritually hungry and thirsty people. Not because I'm an optimist, but because I believe, like Andrew, if you take 5 barley loaves and 2 fish and give it to Jesus, stand back and wait. Wait to do what the Holy Spirit says instead of trying to power through it with our own ingenuity, vision, and strength. God in Christ just might change our lives. And as changed people, God just might change the world through us. Amen.